Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, it's time to get real. Oh, yeah. It's a new experience. Yeah, keep your ears open for this one, man. You got a question for RLM? Yeah, it's time to get some answers, baby.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome to Reality Spirituality. I'm your host, Rebecca Lynn Norrington, and thank you, as always, for joining me. This show has evolved organically through, a little over six years. I remember when I first started the show, I couldn't put two words together. Now, you can't shut me up, especially if you're talking about the topic of happiness. That's right. But I am a happiness specialist. And what does that mean? That means that my intention, my goal, my agenda for the rest of my life till I breathe my last breath is to experience more. And that word happiness, I know, gets thrown around so often. But the word, the feeling that I'm talking about is comes from inside. It's an internal contentment. It's an internal peace. It's a place. It's your foundation is trust. You're surrendering. You're not resisting. You're accepting your reality, and you're reacting with everything that happens throughout your life. The way you react through everything that happens is with open arms and acceptance. What? Open arms and acceptance. How can you accept things you don't want to happen? How can you accept something that maybe you have a goal and it's not happened yet, or maybe you have a job that you want and you haven't got yet, or maybe, who knows, that person that's out there and you want your soulmate? Listen, people, I've been screaming it, I've been saying it, I've been singing it forever. Whatever is happening in your life right now at this moment is supposed to be happening. There's a reason for everything. Do I understand all the reasons all of the times? Of course not. But that's where the trust comes in, and that's where the acceptance comes in, and that's where your foundation comes in, where maybe I'm supposed to experience this. Where's the lesson? Focus on what I can learn. Focus on the good. I know I get all into that, but it's really the truth. Let me talk about our topic. I've talked about control and destiny, whether or not you have control over your destiny, whether you have control over what happens in your life, or I get this controversy. A lot of people don't agree, and it doesn't really matter, because see, it doesn't matter, because for me, I'm only speaking about myself. I've tried so many things in so many ways to make something happen, and for some reason, not every time, but sometimes things just don't happen exactly the way I plan. And when that happens, or sometimes I want something, quote unquote, want, or I used to want or desire something other than what is happening. Let me give you a quick example. Well, I don't need to give you an example. You know exactly what I'm talking about. This is the solution to all of that. It really comes from do you have control over what you're creating or what you're or what you want to do in this world? And I know so many people that have put together projects and you know just set on this goal and they're just working on it, and then the impatience comes in and you're saying, well, it's not here yet, universe. Where's my stuff? Or where's what I want? Where are my desires? And what I want to say is, and it's really it's a concept that is difficult to believe, but everybody has a destiny. Every one of us has a destiny. Einstein had a destiny. Hitler had a destiny. Gandhi had a destiny. Steven Spielberg has a destiny. Stephen Hawking has a destiny. Are you in charge of your destiny? Are you in control of your destiny? It's either a yes or a no. There's no, well, sometimes I am and sometimes I'm not. Because sometimes, you know, I used to think that, wow, I wrote this book. I really made that happen. I mean, yeah, I sat down, I wrote it, published it, and now it was a book all me, right? All me. But do you know how long, do you know how long I'd been thinking about and wanting to and wish that? Years. I've been writing a book for 20-something years. But for some, and it's really very hard, especially for people, and I'm raising my hand on this. Okay, so let me just talk about myself. It's very, very difficult to give up. Hey, RS, what's up? It's very, very difficult to give up the notion that I had control over what was happening. I mean, I thought for sure I have some kind of input, don't I? This thing about destiny versus control, it demands that the ego, here we go, because the only controversy here is the ego disagreeing. Because the ego really thinks and really wants you to believe that you have control. Of course you do. I've said it over and over and over and over again. You have control over your reactions, your energy, how you respond, your perception. You have control over whether you trust or whether you surrender, whether you resist or whether you accept. You have control over whether you judge or you don't. You know what's really interesting about what's going on in this country? It's fascinating to watch, especially sitting back and remembering how I used to be all in the middle of it, all in the middle of the whole back and forth and back and forth. And I can't remember. I was interviewed a few months ago about this whole election crap. But I remember what I said, that this is the second time I remember this country being so divided. Was the O.J. Remember the O.J. trial? You have people that half the people thought he was guilty. Well, not half, but certain people thought he was guilty, and certain people thought he was innocent. And so that divide, it was a big, big, thick divide. And I have to tell you, my hand is up. I was on the side of course he is guilty. Are you kidding? Look at the evidence. I mean, I remember I was working part-time at the time. I watched every frigging day of that trial. I read books. I listened to radio shows. I was attached, invested in the outcome of that trial. And let me tell you, I even lost and let go of people in my life, including relatives that don't talk to me to this day. I have my arms open. They can call me anytime, but they won't talk to me because of O.J. Simpson. It was a divide, and see, that is, but the divide is only, now, we can use O.J. Simpson, or we can use the political arena as a excuse for why we're feeling or looking the way, or feeling the way we do, but in reality, it's an exposure of who we really are. Who are you really? Are you an agent of peace, or are you a person Or forget it, not a person. That's just the question. Are you an agent of peace? Are you a person? Are you an energy of peace? Or are you someone that judges and doesn't accept others? Now, when I say you don't accept others, that means it's on both sides. Both sides don't accept each other. Both sides. Who's right? Who's wrong? Neither. But that acceptance is the cancer. But let's get back to the topic because I digress. The destiny. What if what you believe about destiny is true? And you are in charge and what you're doing, you're working towards it, or you're on the path. Anyone listening cannot tell me that everything that's happened in their life has happened according to plan. There's a lot of roadblocks. There's a lot of hurdles. That's just what life is. And honestly, what is happening in my life now, I didn't plan any of it. But when I started to let go, of the hold that the ego had on me for my decisions, for my thoughts, for my behavior. Let me give you this just happened to me last night. Okay? Perfect example. I can feel my ego. I can feel the difference between what thought or what behavior or what direction my energy is when my ego is in charge. I can feel the difference. I could feel it. It's like a pea under the mattress. So yesterday, yes, I went out and I picked up fries and I picked up a tuna sandwich at my favorite little neighborhood takeout place. Really good, you know, old-fashioned hamburgers wrapped in that nice crisp wrapping, twice double wrapped, you know, white paper, you know, that wax paper all nice and crispy. Anywho, I digress. So I go in, let's see, it's probably 8 o'clock at night. It's in the evening. And listen, everybody in my life is a mirror. Everybody in my life is a test for me. Where am I? So I go in, there's this one guy, there's this one cook, one cashier. Hold on, I need to take a deep breath. And he is so annoying, meaning always with the same questions. How's your son? How are you? Are you still good to your mother? And then he tells me stories about his life and his mother. And he's very old-fashioned, old school. And I remember having conversations with him. I just disagree. No, I don't agree. Does your son call you every day? He really should if he's going to be a good son because he's very close to his mother. Your son needs to call you every day. And, I mean, I've had conversations. No, he doesn't have to call me. Oh, the whole nine yards for years. And yesterday I went in with a little touch of, oh, God, I got to see him again. And, ugh. So I'm going in there with that. And I realize, I'm conscious, I realize I'm with that. So I sat in a spot with my back turned, and I also had a hat on. It's raining in California. I also had a knit hat on, a ski hat. So I was, my hair, which is one of my signature attributes, I guess you'd say, was under a hat, so you can even see all this hair I have on my head. I sat with my back to him, and I was, okay, whew, oh great, I can order, and he hasn't seen me yet. I'm sitting there thinking that he hasn't seen me yet, and then I thought to myself, I said, oh, it's my job to break down any resistance and to just to not have any kind of, my son likes to say charge, you know, I'm charged, or, you know, that feeling of, ugh, it's really resistance, that feeling of resistance. So that feeling of resistance, I got up and I said, you know what? I want to say this is really crazy. I want to talk to him. I want to engage him in a conversation. So I stood up and I faced the area where, you know, the pickup order was and the cooks could see me because everybody knows me. I've been in there for years. So I faced them and I said, okay, I'm ready, universe. Bring Mr. Annoying to me. Bring him to me. But do you feel the energy? Do you feel what I was doing? I was like, all right, bring him to me. I was doing that with, it's like your hands, you're pinching your nose. You're like, okay, universe, but it still smells bad. So that's not really an okay. By the way, that putting your hand and pinching your nose and jumping in even though you don't want to, that's still resistance of when you're punching, when you're saying, all right, universe. So I could feel that. I could even feel that resistance. And then there's another level. There's another level of consciousness where I just said, and I actually started crying. And I said, you know what? Okay. Bring Mr. Annoying to me. Bring Mr. Ask the same questions for the last 12 years to me. Bring that guy to me. My arms are open. I'm going to accept this guy exactly the way he is with his questions. With even the fact, I know it sounds small, but even the fact that he believes differently about raising children than I do. I mean, it sounds small, but the last example I'm going to give you is, this person in my life who's maybe the last few months, more than that, maybe a year and a few months, is so different than me. This person believes in, believes that there is conspiracy to weed out certain races in this country. I'm not joking. I mean, I'm dead serious. And just the belief there, oh, there's a conspiracy to alter the food in this country to get rid of the darker people. I swear to God, this is what they believe. And I'm telling you, my dear audience, years ago, I wouldn't even talk to people that I would label crazy or different or just out there. Acceptance is acceptance. If you don't accept anybody else, what you're really saying is you're not accepting yourself. It really comes back to you. So not that it's even more than compatible energy, because even if your energy isn't compatible, the acceptance is still necessary for you to feel any kind of peace. When you don't accept anyone else, because what you're saying is, universe, what is happening is not supposed to happen. What is happening is wrong. What is happening is not in order. And there's a pushback, and I'm not going to accept it. But it's like the evolution. Everything evolves. And just because you're looking at it with your eyes and thinking that there's something wrong, I'm here to tell you that there's nothing wrong, including the most horrific things you can think about. There is a reason and an evolution for all of this. Destiny. I've said it before. It was my favorite story. Ugh. I know, I'm going to have to repeat it. That one person nailed to the cross did not want to go through with that. Really said, hey, excuse me, God, excuse me, no thank you. Crucifixion, no thanks. Garden of Gethsemane, no thanks, I don't want it. How are you different? How am I different from things that happen? And I say to the universe, no, don't want it. No, thank you, don't want it. Now, if you've listened to the show, you know that I've had these health issues. I've lost so much weight. I look like a freaking skeleton. They've done all kinds of tests. Nothing's wrong. But this was my lesson. I have never been satisfied with my weight, ever. When I was skinny, when I was heavier, when I was mid, when I was all the weights, there's perfection. Never been satisfied, ever. I have pictures. I mean, when I was in my 30s and my 20s, shit, I was hot. I couldn't see it. I always found fault in every single one of my bathing suit pictures. Even up until, what was the last one I took a picture of bathing suit? 28, nope, just last year in my swim class. Always find fault. And I don't know if this is true. I don't know if this is real. I don't know if this was the point. But the universe was dying to teach me the lesson of finding some satisfaction with my weight, no matter what it was. I'm not satisfied when I'm skinny. I'm not satisfied with a little chunky chunk. I'm not satisfied in between. I'm never satisfied. Am I going to go to my grave not being satisfied with how much I weigh? I have a mother who just turned 88 2 weeks ago. She's still not satisfied with her weight, talking about dieting at 88 years old. Is that my fate? Of course, that's how I learned how to be not satisfied with my weight. Thanks, Mom. I'm going to blame it. No, I'm not going to blame it on her. Yes, I am. There is a reason. My destiny, was it to get all those tests? Was it to relax? Was it to be okay with whatever fate I had? There's a very famous woman who everyone, Louise Hay. And I'm going to tell this story because I actually contacted her and asked to interview her. And I got her home number. I have her home number. And I just called recently and I said, may I interview, you know, I told her who I was and you know, how can one person, well, I have people that know her personally that know me personally. So that was going to be my introduction. Plus, there was a friend of mine last year who died, and in her obituary, she credited Louise Hay for getting her through those different stages of cancer up until her death. So Louise Hay was real, and I know that who she is, but I've never read any of her books. But I know she's been very influential in the and Hay House and founder of Hay House. I already know all that, but I've never read any of the books. But anyway, I wanted to interview her, and she's in California, 2 hours away. So I called, and the lady, she's, you know, so who are you? You know, who are you? How do you get her home number? And I introduced myself, and I told her who I knew, and she says, no, she's not doing any more interviews. She says she hasn't done any interviews for the last 2 years. And she said, I know you would respect her decision. And I said, yes, of course, please, you know, let her know that my friend, and, you know, just on and on. And I actually kind of teared up a little bit because it was very emotional. I just wanted to let her know because I could feel, hasn't done any interviews in 2 years. I know she's older, and you know there's that last stage for everybody, and so I'm just feeling a last stage. Destiny. All of us. One of the things that I said when you know she told me that she's not going to do any interviews, I thought about myself in my last stage. And I thought about what I want to share with the world. Well, all the cameras are going to be on. I feel it's not an obligation, a welcomed obligation to share all of the things that I talk about and teach. It's easy to talk it. But it's very, 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 very difficult to walk it in every moment. Walking it meaning being conscious in everyday practicing, wanting to be more of who you are, more of, in other words, the agenda is growth, personal growth, more peace, more contentment. Those are the agendas. Those are the goals. Control. Do you have control over your destiny? You know, you're the only one that can believe whatever you believe is all on you. But I'm here to tell you that look around. When I say oh, Christopher Reeves, I was thinking about this. Who destiny? Christopher Reeves, the one that was jumping horses, the Superman, and then he's paralyzed. I actually have my first high school boyfriend football injury, paralyzed from the neck on down when he was 18. Control or destiny? There's a reason for everything that happens. When you think you have control, if you think you have control, know why you think you have control. It's an ego. Anyway, whatever. So it's up to you to believe what you want to believe. But I've given up. I've given up, and I've opened my arms and said, okay, universe, just deliver me. Deliver me whatever you want. I get packages every day. I open all the packages, and I react to them all the same. Oh, thank you, universe. Thanks. And sometimes I say, thanks for nothing. Here we go. Valentine's Day. I'm going to talk about Valentine's Day very briefly because it was a huge attachment that I used to have. A huge attachment. In fact, if I didn't celebrate Valentine's Day, if my boyfriend or my husband or didn't celebrate, didn't do something special for me on Valentine's Day, hoo-wee, you better run and hide. In my first book, Reality, Spirituality, The Truth About Happiness, I wrote a small little story about Valentine's Day and holidays. The reason why I used to get so upset and so annoyed and so bothered if somebody didn't acknowledge my Valentine's Day or acknowledge me on Valentine's Day is because I had high expectations. So many expectations of the day. So let me share with you, for all of you people that are single and all of you people that are not, is it possible to be single and happy on Valentine's Day? You know, it's Valentine's Day is a day to celebrate and fall in love, but what if you don't have that special person? Is it possible to be happy on Valentine's Day even when you're single? What do you think? I say yes. Valentine's Day, if you're single, is a perfect day to focus on you. It's a day to fall in love with you. The more you exhibit love and acceptance for you, the more you open yourself up to love and acceptance. No, actually, it's very difficult for people to accept. The more you open yourself up to you, and in other words, you are the focus. You are the focus. Your growth is the focus. When have you treated yourself? When have you patted yourself on the back and say, hey, good job? You know, that what I did last night in the burger place, and I accepted that guy at the last minute and said, okay, universe, bring him here with all of his goofy stories and all of his goofy questions and his goofy way of raising children. I know I'm using those words, but you can feel I don't really mean it. I'm just throwing it out for humor, right? Hello? That's something to celebrate. Acceptance is something to celebrate. Trusting more is something to celebrate. Not judging is something to celebrate. Being open is something to celebrate. Surrendering is something to celebrate. Accepting is something to celebrate. Did I say that already? Not resisting reality is something to celebrate. When you do, celebrate you. Attitude of gratitude. I know you've heard it, but really it's a day of reflection. It's a day of love. Love and acceptance of self. Valentine's Day for self. And if you're still not feeling it, my dear audience, all you need to do is change your perspective. Nothing has to change on the outside but your perspective. So instead of thinking that you're spending the day alone without anybody special, you can think, hey, I have a whole day to meditate. There are several reasons for being single and several reasons to enjoy Valentine's Day when you're alone. And it's the first time in my life that I can say that I've gotten rid of my attachment to Valentine's Day, because I used to, you don't call me on Valentine's Day, you don't love me. No. Growth happens slow over time, but it doesn't happen without your commitment and without your practice. Reality spirituality is heard every Sunday. Don't ask me what time, because at whatever time I'm inspired. Well, actually, I'm going to figure out some kind of time and stick with it. Maybe. My website is RebeccaNorrington.com. That's RebeccaNorrington.com. And my email address is info@RebeccaNorrington.com. Follow me on Twitter at RL Norrington. And if you've enjoyed the show, you can go to Facebook, Reality Spirituality, and like Reality Spirituality's Facebook page. Reality Spirituality, The Truth About Happiness, is on Amazon. And until next week, my dear audience, I want you to remember who you are. You are an extension of the universe. You are a physical extension of the universe. You're always evolving, you're always changing, and you're always growing. Love is patient and love is kind. Be patient and be kind to yourself. Be your own best friend. Remember, you cannot have a happy ending to an unhappy journey. This really is about the journey. And until next week, relax.
It's time to get real. Oh, yeah. It's a new experience.
Spirituality.
Yeah, keep your ears open for this one,
man. Spirituality.
You got a question for RLN?
Reality. Spirituality.
Yeah, it's time to get some answers, baby.
Spirituality.
Now we get real.
Get real.